There have been big changes in American religion over the last couple of decades. On the one hand, the number of people saying they're not affiliated with any particular religion has gone up. The latest U.S. religion census finds an 11% drop in religious affiliation, continuing an ongoing trend. A new report out today from the Public Religion Research Institute finds that 16% of Americans say that faith is the most important part of their lives. That's down from 20% just a decade ago. On the other hand, in some parts of the country, there's been a big jump in some faiths and congregations. Our next guest says those changes are very significant, not just for religion, but for our politics. He says both parties should be watching these trends because there's a growing partisan divide over faith. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a member of a congregation, have you seen more people showing up over the years or fewer at your place of worship? Do you see a political divide within your congregation, or is everybody mostly on the same page? Have you moved toward or away from faith over time? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Ryan Burge is an assistant professor of political science at Eastern Illinois University. He's the author of the book, The Nuns, that's N-O-N-E-S, Where They Came From, Who They Are, and Where They're Going. His latest book is 20 Myths About Religion and Politics in America. He wrote about politics and religion lately for Politico. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob. Appreciate being on.
Give us some of the big picture trends in faith. You wrote a whole book about this, but could you talk about that rise of the nuns a little bit?
Yeah, so in 1972, about 5% of Americans said they had no religion on the General Social Survey. And in 1990, it had risen to about 7%, so almost no increase in a 20-year period of time. But from that point forward, from 1990 forward, it's just been a slow and steady march of the nuns. According to the most recent survey data, about 30% of adult Americans say they have no religious affiliation. Amongst Generation Z, it's even higher than that. 48% of Generation Z says they're atheist, agnostic, or they have no religion in particular on surveys. And we're getting very close now to the next generation being less, more nuns and less religious, first generation in American history to do so.
But as you write in your Politico piece, this is not every faith everywhere all at once. Where do we see religious affiliation on the rise?
So there's been a huge jump in religion in places around the southern border of Texas. So the Mexico, the Rio Grande Valley, places like Starr County, Maverick County, places like that. But also in places like Florida, there's been a huge jump. Most counties in Florida have a higher percentage of religious adherence today than they had in 2010. And that's really centered around Miami-Dade County, where obviously Miami, Florida is at. They saw an 11% jump in religiosity between 2010 and 2020. And that has huge implications for politics.
Let's get into this political connection now. There is a God gap, apparently, in how the public perceives the two parties, how the two parties reach out to the public. What is that?
So Joe Biden's coalition in 2020, his voting coalition, was 45% non-religious people. There's a very good chance that when he goes up for re-election in 2024, but definitely by 2028, the majority of Democrat voters in that election in 2028 are going to be non-religious voters. Here's a really shocking statistic for people. In the Republican Party today is 75% white Christians. America as a whole is right around 50% white Christians. So Republicans are 75% white Christians. Amongst Democrats, it's about 38% are white Christians. And obviously those numbers are dropping all the time. So what's happened essentially is the Republican Party has become the party of religious people, specifically white Christian people, Catholics and Protestants, evangelicals, people like that. And the Democratic Party has become the party of the non-religious, which we just talked about, but also the party of Hispanic Catholics and Muslims and Buddhists and some left-leaning mainline Protestants. So they're really kind of a menagerie of all these religious traditions, while the Republican Party has basically become a one-note on religion, which is white Christianity.
And that you listed some of the states where trends are moving the other direction, Florida and Texas, where we see in many cases some of the most conservative laws being advanced on issues like abortion or talking about same-sex issues in schools, things like that. You see a connection there.
Oh, absolutely. I think that a lot of let's take like Starr County, which is a little county on the Texas border, only about 15,000 people in total population. But the share of people in that county who are part of a religious congregation doubled between 2010 and 2020, which is really amazing if you think about what's happening to American religion nationally, to have counties where religion has doubled. And that's largely because of Hispanic migration from Central and South America. And when the Hispanics come to America, they typically are bringing their religion with them, which is almost always Catholicism. And a lot of them are culturally conservative. So when you hear, you know, politicians talking about, you know, LGBTQ issues or abortion issues, they're going to default back to the religion they brought with them when they came to America. And that's why you're seeing, you know, Starr County was Hillary Clinton won by 50 points in 2016, and Biden only won that county by 10 points in 2020. And I think a lot of that has to do with this Hispanic migration, religious Hispanic migration, who are being turned off by some of the more liberal policies pushed by the Democrats. And Republicans are driving this wedge too, saying like these issues of transgender and book bans are very important. And I think that was actually really effective messaging in places like we talked about Texas and around Miami, Florida, where Cubans are, who typically tend to be more conservative anyway.
Talking to Ryan Burge from Eastern Illinois University about changes in American religion, how it impacts politics. Well, Ryan, let's take things close to home for you and me in Midwestern states. What are the trends we're seeing? How does that fit into politics?
Man, the Midwest is, I think people are really shocked by this. If you look at the map, the places where religion has fallen off the most are rural Midwestern states. If you look at a state like Iowa, for instance, there's lots of counties in Iowa where religiosity has dropped by 10 or 15% between 2010 and 2020. Even places in Wisconsin, in Minnesota, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, these are really key states when it comes to national electoral politics. You know, when we talk about winning the Electoral College, you've got to win Michigan in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. And if you look specifically at suburban counties, which is where really the politics of the day are being played out, they're more purple. Rural is red, cities are blue, suburbs are purple. If you look at the counties that became less religious in the last 10 years, they were much more likely to shift towards the Democrats. So I think that's really where this whole suburban religion is really undergirding a lot of what's happening in national electoral politics. And I think we could do a lot more thinking about what's happening in these suburbs. We're having a lot more racial diversity. We're having a lot more economic mobility. And what is that doing to religion? In places like the South, they're becoming more religious. In places in the North, they're becoming less religious. And that's having a huge impact on national electoral politics.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Westby. John, hi.
Hey, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, John?
Well, I just recently retired. I'm a retired Lutheran pastor. And been in ministry for 37 years. And during that time, I've seen a lot of ebbs and flows. But I think in the past couple of years, it's even been more so. I told the producer that I have many concerns about this, but one of the main ones, when I tell people what my faith tradition is, I no longer use the word Christian, because that's been such a – I better watch my language. It's been taken over by Christian nationalists who has, in my point of view of following Jesus, doesn't act like Christians, loving kindness, mercy, and justice. So I tell people I'm striving to follow in the ways of Jesus. And I think, you know, when you talk about white evangelical Christians, you know, I'm not a part of that tradition. I'm certainly not a part of Christian nationalism. But what I have seen a little bit is a rise of the awareness of following Jesus isn't something you say, it's who you are, and it's always been the case. But it's really based upon, in my world, the prophet Micah, when he says, what are we supposed to do? Be John. Humble, loving kindness, and justice.
So, John, thanks a lot for the call. Ryan, you're a pastor yourself at an American Baptist, I believe. What are your thoughts on John's observations about what he sees in the Christian faith?
Yeah, no, John's hitting on something I think is probably the most important movement and change happening in American religion. We used to have a robust tradition in America called mainline Protestants, and those are people like United Methodists, Episcopalians, United Church of Christ. In the 1970s, 30% of Americans were mainline Protestants. These are people who were sort of moderate or maybe even left of center on certain issues. They you know, the kind of people who thought, you know, I'll go to church. I don't really believe in all that stuff all the way, but I also want to help my neighbor and be a good citizen, good member of the community. those kind of churches are an absolute collapse right now. For instance, the PCUSA, Presbyterian Church USA, used to have 3.3 million members in 1984. Today, they have 1.1 million members, going to have less than a million members in the next 5 years. And you're seeing that in all these mainline denominations. So now for a lot of people in rural America, you only have two options for religion, which is evangelicalism or no religion at all. And I think a lot of people want a third choice. Those third choices aren't existing anymore.
Thanks a lot for that call, John. Congratulations on retirement. Ryan Burge is with us. He researches religion and politics at Eastern Illinois University, looking at big changes in religion in the U.S., with more people saying they're not attached to a particular faith, what that means for elections in the U.S. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like one party or the other is a better fit for your religion or your belief system? If so, why? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Ryan Burge, author of 20 Myths About Religion and Politics in America. He wrote a recent piece for Politico on changes in American religion and why they could have a big impact on American politics. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Ryan, I want to ask about another demographic group we haven't talked about, Black Protestants. Do they buck the trend where more religious observance tends to equate to more Republican?
Yeah, Black Protestants are a really interesting group because they're very similar to evangelicals in a lot of ways. When you look at theological measures, like, do you believe the Bible is literally true? You know, do you think a marriage should be between one man and one woman? Those kind of things. But if you look at their politics, they could not be any more different. You know, 80% of white evangelicals voted for Donald Trump, but 90%+ of Black Protestants voted for Joe Biden. Now, what's interesting is you're seeing a little bit of cracking now with Black Protestants. The ones that are highly religious are moving slightly towards the Republicans. By slightly, I don't mean 10, 20 points. I mean like 5 to 7 points. And this is only a small sliver of all the Black Protestants, but it does seem like the pew gap or the God gap is really infecting every type of religious institution, not just like white evangelical churches, but also mainline churches, Catholic churches, and even Black Protestant churches. And I do think there's going to be a future where maybe 20 or 30% of Black Protestants who go to church every week end up being Republicans, and they're really kind of be driven that way because of wedge cultural issues like transgender, religious liberty, and things like that.
I want to talk about another wedge issue, abortion. And that doesn't always seem to map onto faith. And I've looked before the show at numbers on Catholic voters' opinion on abortion. Now, the Catholic Church as an institution, very, very anti-abortion, of course. How about Catholic voters?
Yeah, so 60% of Catholic voters are in favor of abortion for any reason. So that's obviously in opposition to the Catholic faith. Actually, the Catholic doctrine on this issue is what they call the seamless garment, which is they should protect life at all instances, including in the womb, but also they should be anti-capital punishment. They should be anti-physician-assisted suicide. They should be anti-war in most cases. And what's funny is almost no American and no Catholic lines up with Catholic doctrine on that issue. But they also don't line up with Catholic doctrine on the issue of contraceptives, too. I just did some data analysis and found out that almost 95% of Catholics have used condoms in their life, which is a direct contradiction of Catholic teaching as well. What you're seeing with the Catholic Church is a huge decline in mass attendance. That's really the big story with Catholics. In the 1970s, over 50% of them attended mass every Sunday, and now it's less than 25% of them attending mass every Sunday. I think what you're seeing is a lot of them are voting with their feet, as we say, right? And if you don't like what the Catholic Church is teaching on abortion or same-sex marriage or condoms, instead of leaving the Catholic faith, you just say, you know what, I'm not going to attend mass because I don't want to hear those things that contradict my own worldview. I think a lot of Catholics like the church, but they don't like those specific teachings on abortion or contraceptives, things like that.
We heard from Amy in River Falls, who couldn't stay on the line. She calls herself a recovering Catholic, and she says once she had her daughters, she realized the place for a woman in a lot of these churches is not how I want my daughters raised. Their worth is more than anything. Why would I take them to a church where they couldn't be a priest or a pastor? And Ryan, you and I have talked about, I think, Catholicism and Southern Baptist churches as well. Do we see divides when it comes to women and faith and politics?
Yeah, so just to make this point, most Catholics are in favor of female priests, by the way. If you look at survey data, that's clearly true. And actually, most evangelicals are in favor of female pastors, even female preachers on Sunday morning. So the data is kind of in opposition to what the institutions are teaching on these issues. I will make also the point, there are lots of churches in America that allow female pastors, a lot of mainline churches like we just talked about. What we're seeing, which is really, really interesting, is for all social science history, when we talk about religion, religion. We always assume that women are more religious than men. That's been true for 50 years now and all the data we have. But if you look at the most recent data, like the last 5 years or so, and you look at the youngest adults, so like 18 to 25, what we're seeing is that young women are more likely to be non-religious than young men, which is a huge change. And I think a lot of it is this idea of, you know, no female pastors and this really kind of masculine Jesus that a lot of churches talk about now to try to win men back has actually pushed a lot of women away. You couple that with abortion, you couple that with feminism and all the other things that women are striving for and making gains with. I think they're realizing that a lot of churches they grew up in are probably not the most hospitable environment for women who want to move ahead and become leaders.
Sounds like another good conversation for the future, Ryan. In just our last few moments, I think your takeaway from your piece in Politico for both parties is ignore these trends at your peril. You want to highlight that in just a half a minute or so?
Oh, absolutely. I think that we cannot even begin to conceive what America looks like in 30 or 40 years when you see thousands of churches closing down every day. Who's going to feed? Who's going to clothe? Who's going to do after-school programs? Who's going to do prisoner rehabilitation programs? And I think the both politicians from both parties are not realizing how much American society is going to change. We do not have a good governmental social safety net in this country. Religion's been that safety net for a long time. And as these churches close, it's going to hurt Republican districts and Democrat districts as well. And we are not anticipating those changes. And lots of people, the last, the least, and the lost, are going to fall through the cracks, and we're going to be worse for it.
Ryan, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Absolutely.
That was Ryan Burge, assistant professor of political science at Eastern Illinois University. His books include 20 Myths About Religion and Politics in America. He joined us today for a look at big religious changes in the United States and why they may have an equally big impact on politics. His piece on that topic appeared in Politico. We've got it linked on the Central Time Facebook page.